Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, you'll hear an interview with Micah Mahoney from the group Heart Cry of David. I'm going to feature some of their music. Oh, it's going to be fantastic, so enjoy, darling, enjoy. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the office at 585-288-0670. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. As promised, here's some music from the group Heart Cry of David. This is called Majesty.
Give it all.
That was such a beautiful song from Heart Cry of David. Again, stay tuned for an interview with Micah Mahoney. And right now, let's hear about Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They've been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013, with state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment. They work to determine if they are what you need to get your life back. If you'd like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call today at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester, now located at 749 East Henrietta Road. Check them out online at ucccroc.com.
And now another song from Heart Cry of David. This is called Dance With Me.
Dance
That is such a beautiful song. And a little trivia for you. I know the composer of the song, Chris Dupre. He's a real sweet man of God. And his sister, Carol, is one of my very closest friends here. Just a great God-fearing family. And that song is real special. And you probably know that Paul Wilbur recorded that song as well. Well, again, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And now, let's hear a word about Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. They're helping me stay on the air. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Next, we have a beautiful song called King of Glory. This is a song that introduced me to the group Heart Cry of David. I had never heard of them before, and I fell in love with this song. And actually, we do it often at our congregation during our worship service. So enjoy King of Glory.
Open up, you ancient doors, fling wide your gates, and let the King of Glory come in and take his place. Open up, you ancient doors, fling wide. We want to see you.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person, Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Hi, this is Ethel Chadwick. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. You know, it's really weird doing all of these programs from home and pre-recording, not being in the studio, not taking live callers. I have no way of knowing how many people are actually listening. And I have asked you repeatedly to send me an email at bagelsandblessings@gmail.com or to make a comment on my Facebook page. And some of you are a little reluctant to do that. So I would love to hear from you. It would just be nice to know who's really listening, who's out there. When I'm live in the station and you call, then of course I know instantly that you're listening. So help a woman out, you know, support the program. Go to bagelsandblessings.com and click on donate. Help me stay on the air. But also, please let me know that you're listening. Email me at bagelsandblessings@gmail.com or go on my Facebook Bagels and Blessings page and make a comment. I would love to hear from you. All right? All right. Okay, without further ado, let's listen to my interview with Micah Mahoney from Heart Cry of David. Micah Mahoney, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Hi there, so good to be here.
You know, I have to tell you that, embarrassingly, I had never heard of Heart Cry of David, and I was at a conference a few years ago, and I heard the song King of Glory, and I loved it, and I had to know more, and then found out it was you guys, and then we started doing the song in the congregation, and then it occurred to me, oh, I've never interviewed anybody from Heart Cry of David, and so that's how I found you, so I'm very thrilled.
Well, that is so incredible. That is one of our favorite songs. The amazing thing about Heart Cry of David is that we are a collective of worship artists and worshipers from all over. And so Andrew Gudgeon, who's the worship director at a Messianic congregation in Maryland, at El Shaddai is their congregation. He is the author of that song and the one who performs it on the album and on YouTube. And so we just love, I'll be honest, any album I've done where I have been the only voice singing, I get tired of listening to myself. And so I love that we're a collective and we have so many different people contributing their anointings and their giftings like Andrew's. So I love that. I love that his song, and I love that that it blessed you in the congregational setting as well, and that was what had you think about reaching out.
Yes, but I got a little bit ahead of myself because, Micah, I would love to hear your story, how you grew up, and I don't even know whether you grew up in a Jewish home or not, but
I'm going to hear the story, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it would be my pleasure. I actually grew up and in the Catholic Church, no less. So my mother, who's Italian, grew up a wonderful, you know, a Catholic girl. You did all you went to confession. You went to, you know, to Mass. You know, at least twice a year. You couldn't miss Easter and Christmas was what she always remembered. At least her dad, my grandfather, saying that was the time. You know, this was the bare minimum to be a good Catholic. And so this was, you know, when I was first born and my first, you know, a couple of years of growth, she debated about, okay, well, my son's going to go through, I guess, catechism, and I guess he'll go. I was christened. That's where, you know, they take the child and they sprinkle them with water and they christen them in the Catholic Church. But as I grew, my mom began to encounter a real relationship with the Lord. She actually ran into a charismatic Catholic prayer group, all women, who were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Ruach, and loved the Lord, and just wanted more of Him. And it really stirred a hunger in my mom to have a personal relationship with the Lord and be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. So that was something that really changed everything in her life. And as I began to grow, like be about two or three, she was like, well, is my son going to be a Catholic? Is he going to be confirmed in the Catholic Church? I know that they, when I read my Bible, as this women's group has encouraged me to do, it does not line up with what I see some in the Catholic Church doing, and even Catholic catechism, I don't see lining up with some of the scriptures that I can just read for myself. And so she had no peace about it. And so I didn't go to catechism. I didn't go any further. My mom and dad, my dad, who was not a believer at the time, kind of whatever my mom said went, you know. She was kind of the spiritual barometer in the home. And so when she was like, we are not Catholic, we're not going this route, we went basically kind of down the path of non-denominationalism, I would say, so spirit-filled non-denominational churches. And that was honestly until I was a freshman in high school. So here I was about 13, 14 years old, and all of a sudden my mom and a couple of prayer partners that she would pray with at the church, the Lord began to just stir up in my mother and in these other women a hunger and a thirst for understanding the biblical roots of the faith. And many people hearing that go, okay, uh-oh, that means there's going to be some things unearthed, some things discovered. And my mother already had a strong love for Israel, already loved the promises of God made to Israel, knew that none of those promises had been done away with, understood a great deal of the Old Testament, as we call it, but the covenants in the Torah and the Tanakh had not been done away with. So she already had a very healthy understanding of Israel, but God began to expose some of the holidays. We just say, hey, these are all really great holidays here in the West, from Halloween, Easter, Christmas, and started to reveal to my mother some of the roots of these practices. Maybe not the heart of everyone who celebrates, say, Easter and Christmas, but certainly the trappings thereof. And it got us on a journey of just looking at what the Word of God says, and what you know, even what the Torah says, and then how we govern our lives based off of that. And she saw a lot of discrepancies. So as we began to unearth these things, really as a family, we began celebrating the biblical feasts. We began celebrating Shabbat. We began doing the work on Shabbat and resting. We began slowly, actually, to wean away from Christmas and all of the things that were very familiar to us. And what the Lord spoke to my mother's heart, and really to our hearts, we felt as a family, was you've been comfortable in your cultural understanding of who I am, but I already have a culture, and I already have a people, and I showed myself to my people throughout the Bible through the culture that I gifted them. From Mount Sinai, even before, but from Mount Sinai on, I instituted a culture of covenant with the people, with the children of Israel. And their times and their seasons are ones that I gave to them. And they all speak of me. They all speak of the covenantal promises of God, and they all speak of my heart towards not only the children of Israel, but the heart that I have for all nations. Would you want to discover that heart for your own? Would you want to know my heart in these things? So this was very radical, to say the least. This was back in the, goodness, in the late 90s. I mean, there just wasn't a lot of people that were understanding of this journey that we were on. And yet I'm so thankful. Eventually we found Messianic Jewish believers who had Messianic congregations. We just thought we were this weird group of people that celebrated these things. And we were like, we're the only ones in the world that we feel God has given this understanding to. But of course, you're never alone, right? There's always a remnant of people who are following the presence of the Lord and walking out things that might be difficult for some, but they bring life. And what we found was the more we pressed into the Lord in these things, and not incredibly religiously, we learned that often when my mom wanted to slaughter a lamb for Passover. My mom was like, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it all the way. She started thinking, we're going to put blood on the lintels of our doorposts. And then the Holy Spirit just kind of brought her up short. And he just said, well, one already did that. There was one who came as the lamb. And he already laid down his life, and you know him. You have relationship with Yeshua. You don't need to do this, where you're slaughtering a lamb on Passover. This is, one, she didn't understand, you know, outside the temple sacrifices, all of these other elements. But it was a good reminder, a wake-up call, that just because we come into truths, we can still try to take those truths and run with them in our own religious understanding. But it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to walk in truth and in wisdom, that we can walk in the knowledge of the things of God, but we don't take them and start creating this unholy zeal, even with religious trappings, and try to do it in our own strength. So that was a powerful lesson. Lo and behold, we got connected with a Messianic congregation in Kansas City, Or HaOlam, which was the first Messianic congregation I had ever had attended, and we really just fell in love with the celebrations of the biblical feast days with God's people, who I have Jewish relatives that we know and love. They believe in the Lord. They're strong believers. Even finding out that my family has some Jewish heritage back in our lineage through our Italian side, it began to open our eyes to a lot of things that had been lost, whether because of persecution, because of running away from, you know, some of the obviously the religious persecution that was going on back in our, you know, heritage, most likely from Spain, and then from Spain being transplanted to Italy, and then from Italy to here on my mother's side. It was a fascinating tale of how God can hide things, or people choose to hide things, even hiding their identity, and that the Lord always sees those things and brings them about at a special time, an appointed time, and says, hey, this is in here for a reason. You may not think much of this, but I know how I made you, and I've crafted you uniquely special. And though I'm as Gentile as they come, that I'm kind of a broad brushstroke of a lot of different people groups, and I just believe that the Lord is awakening the hearts of Gentiles across the earth, saying, you need to understand my heart for my people, you need to understand the heart for my land, my nation, Israel, and you need to understand that the Bible that you read, and oftentimes just skim over some of these things, they're forever covenants, and I'm going to have my way in these covenants, whether men on the earth, kings, or presidents or dictators like it or not, my word is alive. And we've gotten to see some of that, my wife and I walking in, just sort of partnering with the Lord as we kind of nation hop with our worship and just obey the Lord and the leading of the Spirit. And we've seen seen God do amazing things in the hearts of all different kinds of people and in the hearts of Israelis living in the land of Israel, some who don't know the Lord at all, most, in fact, don't know him living in the land of Israel, watching what God does when you just obey him and take that next step.
Wow.
So I know that's a lot. That's a mouthful. I probably should take a breath. See where we are.
Breathe, Micah, breathe. Well,
yes.
That is wonderful. I love how excited you are in all the things God showed your mother and then showed you. And I see that he just laid a wonderful foundation, and this just leads right into what you've done with your knowledge and the worship. And tell me how, I know you're the director of Heart Cry of David, how did it get started and what are you guys up to?
Well, I was in full-time worship directing mode at a Messianic congregation in Newport News, Virginia, called Congregation Zion's Sake. And my wife and I had been there for roughly 5 years, 6 years, and it's one of those things where every need we had, the Lord was providing. We had three children at the time, and life was very full. And I kind of was one of those people that just said, you know what? I got everything I need. Lord, you're blessing me. I'm getting to do worship. I'm getting to help out in congregational life. I enjoy helping in a leadership capacity. I enjoy a lot of these things, and I just feel really blessed and content. And I feel like the Lord just saw me in that place and just said, yeah, I do notice that you're really comfortable. And we have to be careful when the Lord talks to us like that. It's like, I knew something was coming when he said that word. You just seem really comfortable, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I guess that's the word I would use. And so feeling very comfortable where I was, I knew was actually the Lord's invitation to press into something more. And so my wife, Abby, and I began to just, you know, when there's this sort of a divine discontentment in your heart, it's not that you're not thankful for where you are. It's not that you're not blessed. It's not that you don't see God doing things in the day-to-day. But he began to stir up what I would call this divine discontentment, where he's like, why don't you ask me what I made you for? Why don't you ask me the things I've prepared for you from the foundation of the world? Why don't you ask me who I see you as? And why don't you dare to just press into that for a little bit? I know it's a little uncomfortable, but I really want to engage with you on your destiny. I really want to engage with you on the things that may be even hidden in your own heart from yourself, because you kind of made a nice little place for yourself here in Newport News, Virginia, and this is wonderful, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there are some things in your heart I want to reveal. So it was actually on my wife's birthday, October 18th, 2015, and we were walking in this downtown area, and there was an abandoned building. We were just walking by. It's actually a beautiful storefront. And as we walked by this abandoned building on my wife's birthday, we had just gone to eat lunch, and now we were just sort of strolling through this downtown area. The Lord arrested my attention looking at this window, and all of a sudden, not with my physical eyes, but in my spiritual imagination, I was walking by this window, and I saw a handful of Messianic believing worshipers that we know, and it was like I was seeing them in this window, setting up, getting ready to do a worship concert or service. I don't know. They had equipment. And then I saw some other people that I honestly didn't really know. It was like a group of people. And as we walked past this window, I just stopped. And I just turned to my wife and I just said, you're never going to believe what just happened to me while we walked past that window. And I backed up and I looked in the window, and there were no people. It was abandoned. And I just said, this beautiful storefront that's abandoned, you'll never believe it. We walked past it, and all I saw was us. I actually felt like we were a part of what was going on in there. I felt like we were going to do some worship with these people that I was seeing, some of whom I know and some of whom I don't, and we were going to do, like, worship in this storefront window. I don't even understand. And she's like, okay, we need to just pray. My wife is one of those discerning women who, when I start talking and I don't know why I'm talking, she's like, yeah, let's just pray. Let's just ask the Lord what this is, because you don't do this kind of stuff. I don't say that kind of stuff. So as we began to pray, the Lord began to reveal to us all throughout that day of her birthday. He's like, this is a birthday present to you, speaking to my wife as we just began to pray. And he just said, you are going to gather a group of worshipers. You're going to gather them. They're going to be spirit-filled Jews and Gentiles. I want a representation of the unity that's in my heart, the unity that my son paid for and died for, the unity that he talked about in John 17, that Father, that they would be as we are, that you and me and I and you, that they might be one. And he was talking not just about the Jewish disciples. He was saying there are sheep that will come in. They're not of this fold. My disciples won't even recognize them because they're going to be from the nations. But these that you've given me, Father, these Jewish men and these disciples who love me and all those who are going to be grafted in, they are going to know you because of how they love me and how they lift me up. And so that these verses just kept striking us that Yeshua prayed for a witness in the earth, and literally sweat drops of blood, crying out for his people, both Jew and Gentile, to be one, so that there would be a witness in the earth that God is a unifier, that God is the God of unity, the God of love, the God of bringing people from all diverse backgrounds into a recognizing, saving knowledge of who he is and a knowledge of who his people are, the Jewish people, and that he's placed specific blessings on the earth through their lives and through even the covenants of the land of Israel, that all believers would be blessed through these things and these understandings of these things. And so the more we began to press in, it was like drinking out of a fire hydrant. And we were like, oh my gosh, Lord, this is so much information. You know, slow down. And over the course of the next year, we just began to pray, like, well, what do you want us to do about this? What do you want us to, how are we going to take a group of people? And it wasn't till really the end of 2015 that we knew that God had sent confirming word after confirming word that we were to raise funds. But we didn't know how to raise funds, and we were to do a project. And then the Lord just kept saying, and it's going to be from Jerusalem. You're going to record it in Jerusalem. You're going to release it from Mount Zion. You're going to release it from Zion. It's going to touch the ends of the earth with the unity that I've been telling you about. This sound of really the one new man, this sound of Jew and Gentile worshiping Yeshua, the King of the Jews, the King of the world, I want that released in the earth. Would you do this? And you're just going, you have got to have the wrong number. You called the wrong worshiper. And we were just dumbstruck. I fought it more than anyone. My wife was like, I believe, Lord, let's do it. And I was like, why does it have to be Israel? Why do we have to fly across the earth, spend thousands and thousands of dollars to get people over there? And don't get me wrong, I love Israel, but that just seems impossible. Not only that, getting worshipers to do anything together is like herding squirrels, Lord. And I know because I'm in charge of a worship team. I am a worshiper. We're kind of finicky. We can be a little flaky, a little flighty. How are we going to do this? And I just had my own personal doubts, but through each one of them, the Lord was so patient with me. He brought us wild confirmations, a coin minted in Israel with David on it and with a harp. And someone just said, you guys have the heart of David. We didn't know this person at the time at all. They just said, the Lord told me to give this coin to you. It has David on it. And you just have the heart of David. And the Lord had already been speaking to us about David's heart, that David was one of the few who saw the nations of the earth will come to Israel. They will come to Jerusalem. They will worship at the temple. They will celebrate the God that I love and worship. And actually, one day, this God, this king, will actually have an heir who will sit on my very throne. His feet will be established on the physical earth in Jerusalem, and all the nations of the earth will come worship him. And I believe David was so enraptured by this vision and this understanding from the Lord that's why he instituted the temple worship. That's why his heart was so involved in raising everything that was needed for the creation of the temple, because he knew his life was a prophetic foreshadowing of even the Messianic age when the king will sit on the throne in Jerusalem.
Wow.
And so the more we studied the life of David, the more we studied his heart, the more God began to say, this heart burns in you as well, doesn't it? And we realized it did. We realized that there were just not many people willing to make some of these sacrifices to do such a crazy thing. And that God was saying, are you willing to do this? Will you be this sort of bridge to gather these worshipers from America? At the time, it was just worshipers in America, and connect them with the worshipers you know and love in Israel, and even invite others that you don't into this expression of my heart of unity.
Well, that
it was a lot to take in.
That is amazing. So that explains how you got the name Heart Cry of David. And
yes.
We're almost out of time, but I'd like to know if our listeners want more information about Heart Cry of David or even how they can get your music, what is the best way to do that?
Yes, so that's a great question. We have our own website, heartcryofdavid.com, which links, we have chords and lyrics to our songs. If congregations want to press in with worship and have those things available. But we're also available on every major platform. So we're on iTunes. You can download our music. Both albums, we just released our second album. So the first one involved Israel and America. It's called Jerusalem. It was this demonstration of unity, the first project that I'm talking about and the backstory about, raising funds and then going and doing this album. But we just finished our second project, our sophomore album called United Kingdom, where we partnered with worshipers in the UK, brought them to collaborate with our friends and worshipers in Israel, and all three nations were represented, America, the United Kingdom, and Israel, in this second album called United Kingdom. Also, Heart Cry of David is the collective name, and we are so excited that that has been released. So that is on iTunes, that's on Spotify, you can find us everywhere. We have videos, worship videos, on YouTube. Just look up Heart Cry of David, and all of our videos should pop up, and even some backstory videos that we made to just let people know what the heart was behind these projects and what our heart is moving forward in the things the Lord's given us.
Well, Micah, I'm really excited to hear this because I am a worship leader. I'm the director of worship at my congregation, and I am always looking for new music, and I really feel your heart, you know, and as I listen to the music, I feel the heart of your whole ministry, and I'm really excited, and I do want to have you on the show again sometime so we can get an update on what's going on with Heart Cry of David, but I do want to thank you so much for sharing your story and for sharing the excitement of what's going on with you guys, and I just can't thank you enough.
Well, it was a blessing both ways then, because I feel so blessed to just be on the show and to get to know you a little bit better, Ethel, and this was just a treat. So thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're so welcome, and God bless you. May He provide all that you need, and may He keep you healthy in the name of Yeshua.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Oh, sure.
All right. Blessing.
You too. Thank you. Shalom.
This is Ethel Chadwick, and that was my interview with Micah Mahoney. And as many of you know, I will have a podcast of this whole program up on iTunes within a day. You can always find Bagels and Blessings on iTunes, and all of my shows are there. Alrighty, well, similar to weeks past, I only received about 3 songs from Heart Cry of David. And since we have more time, I'm going to pick some more songs for you. Right now, I'm in the mood for Bob Dylan.
Beginning. furry paws and he liked to howl. Great big furry back and furry hat. I think I'll call it a bear.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago. He saw an animal upon a hill, chewing up so much grass until it was filled. He saw milk coming out, but he didn't know how. I think I call it a cow. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago.
He saw an animal that liked to snort, horns on his head and they weren't too short. It looked like there was nothing that he couldn't pull. I think I'll call it a bull.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago.
He saw an animal leaving a muddy trail, real dirty face and a curly tail. He wasn't too small and he wasn't too big. I think I'll call him a pig.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, in the beginning. Long time ago.
Next animal that he did meet had a wool on his back and hoofs on his feet. Eating grass on a mountainside so steep. Oh, I think I'll call it a sheep.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, in the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago.
He saw an animal as smooth as glass, slithering his way through the grass. He saw him disappear by a tree near a lake.
Oh my, I never understood why that song ended so abruptly. Again, that was Bob Dylan. All right, we have time for one more song. This is Hineni, Here Am I, featuring Joshua Aaron, and the lead singer is Nate Benjamin.
Wide open, here I am. Yisbarechech Adonai Vayismarecha Yair Adonai Panavalecha Vikunecha Yisadonai Panamalecha V'yasem lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.